This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. My next guest has a pretty straightforward message to deliver. Dirt is good. In fact, that's the title of his new book, Dirt is Good: The Advantage of Germs for Your Child's Developing Immune System. Jack Gilbert is the faculty director of the Microbiome Center at the University of Chicago, also a group leader at Argonne National Laboratory, and an adjunct senior scientist at the Marine Biological Laboratory here in Woods Hole, where he joins me now. Always good to have you here, Jack.
Great to be here, Heather.
All right. In the past few years, your research and a whole host of others has started revealing the connections between the microbes that live in our guts, on our skin, all over our body, really, and the way that they affect our metabolism, our immune system, even our mood and our mental health. With all of those areas to choose from as you're starting to write a book, why focus specifically on microbes and kids?
Right. Well, we have to get into a situation where we can actually have an impact, right? And children are still developing. Their immune system is being created. The bacteria that they are exposed to will help train and shape their immune system. And this is extremely important because that's when their brain is developing. That's when their body is developing. Everything about them is going through dramatic and rapid shifts. It's the time where if we understand how to manipulate their microbial exposure, we could have the biggest impact upon their lives.
Your children and your co-authors, Rob Knights, are both an inspiration for this book, and your children have, in some cases, actually been part of your research. Can you just give us a couple examples?
Right. Well, we've done lots of experiments where we've tried to understand how the exposure of bacteria in our home, so the microbes you find on the kitchen counter and in the carpet and in the air, how they interact with the microbiome, the bacteria and fungi inside the child. And I've done my own home, for example. Rob, he's done long time series studies of himself and his wife and sometimes his children, which he has looked at how their microbiome has changed, i.e. what species are present when, and how it relates to some of the factors that affect them in their everyday life, like what they eat.
There are so many different topics that you hit on in this book, from obesity to allergies, the benefits of breastfeeding. I mean, it's really all over the map. Are there, you know, a few unifying take-home messages that you're really hoping parents and others can get out of this book?
Yeah, I mean, we provide actually a top 10 list of things you can do. The difficulty is this is a very, very early area of research, right? You know, we are literally on the cutting edge, the bleeding edge almost, of an area that will have profound impacts upon clinical science in many years to come, right? But at this time, we know that we can alter the microbiome. We can change our diet, right? You could eat certain types of foods that will promote the abundance of certain types of bacteria that will actually improve the health outcomes of our children and of ourselves, even as adults, right? We know that exposure to certain types of environmental microbes can actually help to promote our health. So children get exposed to dogs or our other household pets, or even taking them to a farm or getting them out into the backyard and getting them dirty. That's good exposure, which could help to promote a healthy ecosystem, and that healthy ecosystem will help promote them. So there are good things you could do now based on our current evidence that suggests that that could be impactful. But, you know, we've still got lots of work to do to actually have real defined clinical impact.
You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. My guest is microbiologist Jack Gilbert. His new book is called Dirt is Good: The Advantage of Germs for Your Child's Developing Immune System. You already mentioned, Jack, the potential benefits of having a dog or a pet and being exposed to farm animals. There's another great little point you make in the book about siblings and the fact that actually having older siblings can be a benefit to children in terms of their health, specifically because of their microbes.
Yeah, I mean,
what's the connection there?
Think about it. It's if you have an older child in your family, or if you were a younger sibling, I mean, those people bring back a lot of gunk from school, right? I mean, they're a walking petri dish unto themselves. So
they are,
as
yes.
A child with older siblings, you actually get exposed to more microbial organisms, and that microbial exposure can actually help to improve and train your immune system. We know that younger siblings tend to have less allergies, less food allergies, less season allergies. They can even have less asthma if there is asthma prevalent in that community or that family. So we know that there's an impact of that exposure in those younger kids.
There's another topic you hit on in the book, which is a very often sensitive kind of hot button issue, and that's vaccines, which we're used to hearing about vaccines in the context of do they or don't they cause autism, which the science there is very clear that they don't, and that there are strong benefits to vaccines. But you talk about, you know, kind of the interaction between getting a vaccination, which is meant to stimulate your body's response to fight one microbe, and how the other microbes in your body might be part of that, and whether you would even want to do something like take probiotics before you get a vaccine.
Right. I mean, there is an increasing body of evidence which suggests that enhancing your microbial community, the relative proportions of the good bugs that live inside you. I mean, you have 1,000, 10,000 species of microbes living inside you. It's a rainforest of organisms. But enhancing and strengthening that rainforest can actually be beneficial when you give somebody another vaccine, right? So, you know, all of vaccine is a type of microbial exposure, like the dog, like the farm. It's a way of increasing the exposure to your child's immune system so the immune system learns how to respond appropriately. And if you have a strong microbiome in there at the same time, there is evidence that can actually enhance the efficacy, i.e. the way the vaccine actually works, can make it work better.
Now, you've got some advice in there, and you say, you know, you can't give medical advice, you're not a doctor, but you do have some kind of what you would consider best practices. And you say, you know, hand sanitizer, probably not necessary in most situations. You advise pretty strongly against things like antibacterial hand soaps, antibacterial products. But then you also advise against using bleach. And that really took me by surprise. I thought bleach was kind of in the category of things like alcohol, that we don't really need to worry about, you know, antibacterial resistance developing from bleach. So why wouldn't you use bleach?
Well, it's all about reducing your exposure, right? So in a home, if you blanket kill everything, you're actually reducing the diversity of microorganisms that your child would be exposed to. And so homes that have more sterilization practices, and that means, you know, bleaching your kitchen counters or you know, heat sterilizing your cutlery and silverware in the dishwasher, or you know, making sure that you use extreme filtration on the air coming into the house, that can actually have a correlation with an increase in allergies and asthma for those families. And a lot of people do that because their child already has a condition, but we think that could be exacerbating existing conditions. So we need to balance, right? Many people, interestingly, don't use those bleaches very well anyway. If you ever use some of those bleach wipes that you can get, that you have to literally take about 10 of those bleach wipes, wring them out, make sure the counter is glistening wet, and leave it for 10 minutes. You tell me one person that actually does that in a home, it never occurs, right? Those products are as effective if you just wipe them over the kitchen counter and gone. That's as effective as wiping a wet towel over the kitchen counter with water. It has no bactericidal effect. It doesn't kill the bacteria. So it's, people don't even use the products effectively sometimes anyway.
So maybe we just shouldn't be using them at all. All right. I'm talking with microbiologist Jack Gilbert. Also joining us is one of his graduate students, Sophia Carroll. And you guys are here in Woods Hole right now teaching other incoming students, kind of what is the message you're trying to get across to them? I mean, we're in this really exciting period in this field and kind of trying to change attitudes among the public about how we think about microbes. Are you kind of fighting that same battle with researchers coming into this field, or is everybody coming in already pretty much on board that microbes are great and we don't need to be killing them all off?
Yeah, it's definitely a mixture of both. I mean, there are some students who are extremely excited about the work that we're doing and others that are currently being convinced, you know, about how exciting this work is. So we definitely have a mixture. And I think we have a great set of students who they're so independent and they're willing to learn, you know? So yeah,
I think is amazing. Yeah. So they're so diverse as well.
Yeah, they're, yes.
We have people, we have pre-med students, mm-hmm. we have economists, we have computer scientists.
You're right.
I mean, they're all coming here because they see this as a fascinating field.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, we have students who, I guess, may have picked up a pipette maybe once or twice before, right? And they're excelling now because they see how exciting this work is. And they have been going out into the field collecting their samples. So I think what's really pushing them is to see what's actually in their samples, you know?
What do you think is driving this broad, diverse interest? I mean, when it comes down to giving advice to parents, right, for most parents, the motivation for taking that advice is, I want my child to be healthier. More broadly, maybe there's a public health argument, but Sophia, you're studying microbes in sparrows. Obviously,
yes.
There's an ecological angle. You know, Jack, you and your co-author Rob Knight on this new book are studying microbes in ecosystems, microbes in buildings. I mean, it's kind of everywhere at this point.
Yeah, definitely. So in our world, I think by the year 2050, we're going to have a more urbanized world, right? So we're having this rapid change in what our ecosystems are looking like. So that's not just affecting us, that's affecting the organisms in our ecosystem and in the habitat. So I'm interested in questions like, what are the interactions between house sparrows and their microbiome, right? How are those interactions changing over time as our world continues to change?
And are we seeing effects? I mean, we know that we've changed the microbes that are in our own guts as we've changed our behavior and our diet and our environment. Are we humans actually changing the microbial environment for animals and those around us?
Pending. We'll see.
So it's fascinating, though, that many of these animals that we see are actually altering their behavior potentially.
Right, exactly.
And
yeah.
The microbes in that environmental exposure that they get could be altering. So, hey, you know, these sparrows that Sophia's looking at could actually be changing their behavior based on the microbial milieu in the urban environment.
Right, yeah.
Jack, if you had to give people who are kind of coming to this information for the first time and maybe struggling with the idea that I shouldn't bleach my kitchen counter, I shouldn't worry about my bathroom being a place that's going to make me sick, I shouldn't worry about my kid eating dirt, what are some easy ways to start kind of easing into this new attitude towards microbes?
Right. I mean, it's you can change your everyday practices, right? Maybe open your windows a little bit more often. Don't be too afraid of the outside world. Get a small garden, even if it's just a box garden on the inside your house next to a windowsill. Start growing some plants inside the house. The kids alone will love it. You know, they love interacting with the dirt. Try to promote interaction with animals. And also, the diet is everything. Right. And I'm not the best diet reference for my own children, but I definitely try and make them eat salad when I can. Leafy green vegetables are very good. They actually feed the good bacteria. They have no real benefit for humans, but they feed the good bacteria, and the good bacteria produce chemicals which are essential for human beings, right? Essential for our bodies to function. So those, and lots of colored vegetables. And there are some probiotics which can be beneficial for actually helping to treat some diseases in children. If your child has diarrhea, there are some probiotics which are clinically proven in our highest grade trials to actually be beneficial in treating those diseases.
Jack Gilbert is professor of surgery and director of the Microbiome Center at the University of Chicago and co-author of Dirt is Good, The Advantage of Germs for Your Child's Developing Immune System. And also joining us today, Sophia Carroll, a graduate student in Jack's lab. Thank you so much to both of you.
Yeah, my pleasure to be here.
Coming up after the break, what doctors might learn about our health if they had access to the data that online advertisers do. Stay with us.